Praise God. Well, we have our panel today. Hallelujah. Look at these handsome guys. Yes. Yes. They got those ultra bright smiles. Well, praise God. Glory to God. Do they still sell that? I just realized, man, that goes way. Oh, man, is that a thing anymore? I don't even know. Well, praise God. You know, God is so awesome, and there is nothing greater than serving the Lord. Amen. And we have been talking about the outpouring of the Spirit of God. We need a constant refreshing of the Spirit of God. Amen. You know, when you're doing battle in this world, and boy, there is battle to be done, the enemy rises up against you, and you need the anointing of the Spirit of God. Amen. You need the power of God to be able to stand. Otherwise, the enemy will shut you down. He will bind you. There's a reason that the Word of God talks about binding the strong man. Because if you don't bind him, he will overpower you. And he will hinder you from moving forward in God. And he will act as the gatekeeper to prevent us from being able to move forward into the areas that God is calling us to move forward into. And so we must operate in the strength of God so that we can have his power to move forward. That's what the anointing is all about. The purpose of the anointing is to commission you to move forward in the strength of God. Not in our own strength, but in the power of God. And we need God's power to move us forward. And that is why it's so important to be filled with the Spirit of God. Because every time you do the service of the Lord, you become depleted, right? You're imparting something. You're giving something. Even something as simple as praying and interceding for someone else, it comes from within your soul, the very core of who you are. And that is why you need to fill up on God so that you're imparting God back out. And when you interact with people in the world and you go and do the things that God has called you to do, it draws from your inner man. And that is why we need to be refreshed. We need to be refreshed in God. Oh boy, otherwise it gets very, very difficult to persevere. You will tire out easily and you will find yourself becoming incapable or incapable of rising up and moving forward. And so God needs us to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's what Paul commands us. It's not even an option, because you will need to be able to stand in the evil day. Not when the days are good, but in the evil day. That's when you have to be able to stand. And so we've been talking about this, and so we're gonna jump into the Word of God here, and but we're going to open up with prayer, and Pastor Michal is going to go first, right? I think you're first up. All right. Well, here, you take that. All right. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word today. And we just ask, God, that you would arise and let the Spirit of the Lord fill the house. Lord, drive out every hindering spirit, God, that would hinder the hearing of the word of God, that we would be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, and that we would be able to manifest the power and the presence of God even in times of difficulty, in times of trouble, that we would be able to operate in the witness of the Spirit of God. God, mold us and shape us. Use us for your glory as we, Lord, rise up in this culture, in this day, in this age, to represent you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Well, praise God. Well, we're going to sit down here and, you know, he always has, what the?
You have not got your mask on.
Oh, well, praise God. Hallelujah. What can you say to that?
All right. Did you want tea?
No, go ahead. It's all right.
All right, praise God.
Hallelujah.
All right, so So yeah, praise God. So we're going to open up. And also, to me anyway, I love this panel as we get together. And I think it's even more special that it falls on Father's Day, you know, because we can be here together, you know, the three of us just kind of really sharing our thoughts with you guys. And I think it's a really nice platform, a nice just way of just, you know, really just not a just an impersonal, but a very personal way of delivering God's word, right? So
right.
Praise God. So, you know, even as last April, I think it was, that the Lord had me minister on this word, and it was, for me, it was profound. It's still, even to this day, I find myself going back and listening to it, not to critique. A lot of times I listen to it to critique, but this is because I continue to get blessed by it. So, you know, and it was, and again, it was, you know, God's word just really ministering to me. And even as you're preparing it and ministering it, sometimes you don't feel the full impact of it until you go back and then sit beneath it again, you know,
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
And allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. But, you know, really minister to me in this. But so it was the name, the title was, you know, Good Grief, Great God, right? Mm-hmm. And I really want to, you know, I really want to push that today to remind all of us that, you know, we can be pursuing after God with everything going right and still come upon good grief, right? And that good grief is, you know, so often we, you know, something comes upon us and we automatically start the prayer of asking God to take it from us, mm-hmm. right? But, you know, unless we hear from God that is the prayer we should be praying, maybe we need to sit and find out why it is that God has brought that into our life and allow that process to actually develop us and mature us, and then allow God, as he matures us in that, to then remove it from our lives, you know, so... And that's no better stated than the book of James. And I love the book of James because, you know, when I first became saved, I started looking at the book of James. It was just so, I guess, in your face to really remind you, you know, say that, you know, if you think you're good, just take a look at James, you know what I'm saying? James will remind you continually, you know what I'm saying? That there's a lot of work to do, you know what I'm saying? But it's only God that can do it. So I love that about James. It's a continual reminder to me, you know, that, you know, you're not all that, no matter how long you walk with the Lord, you know? So even just he starts out the book with saying, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, you know? And, you know, that to us, to me anyway, is such a foreign thought, I guess, if you will, because you don't expect... When you first become saved, or you expect that as you walk with the Lord, that the trials will become less because you'll become more mature, you'll become closer with the Lord. Now the trials should become less. Mm-hmm. But you know what happens as we become closer to the Lord, that the Lord starts to see more in us, those small little pieces in us that need to be removed, right? And those trials start to come. But the trials that he brings at that point are trials that we could never have endured when we were first saved. You know, it's only because he's actually brought us through this process from the very start that we can actually continue to grow from image to image and glory to glory.
Yeah.
As it says here, it says, you know, as we go through those trials, is knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And that's where each one of us want to be. We want to be lacking nothing. And I think this process will be all the way until we die, sadly enough, right?
It's
because
true.
No matter how much we progress in the Lord, God is deeper still. No matter how much we mature in the Lord, there's still more depth that the Lord wants to bring us to, more understanding, more wisdom that he wants to share with us so that we can impart that to others and so we can grow through it as well. And but if any of you lacks wisdom, right, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So here's the thing, as we go through these trials, it is so critical that we don't just assume that we know why God is bringing us through these things, but that we ask God, Lord, why is this in my life? Why is it that you're allowing this in my life? You know, if God says that all things work together for the good, for those who love him according to his purposes, there's a reason that's in your life. And, you know, it's almost arrogant in a way for us to assume that we know what God would want us to do and how he'd want us to approach this. What we need to be doing is sitting before God and saying, Lord, how do you want me to walk through this? How do you want me to respond to this? And what is it that you're trying to do in my life because of this and with this? And in Isaiah, right? So there was the good grief, right? And then we have great God, right? So we know that when we have that good grief, that we can go to God and that God has the answers because he is a great God. And it's no better stated than in Isaiah here, 55:8-9. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." But he even makes it even more distinct than that. He says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So for us to even assume that we can come and figure out anything that God is bringing us through on our own is arrogance in a way. We may not mean it as arrogance, but it is arrogant, because what we need to do is hear from the throne of God. We need to hear from God exactly what it is that he's trying to, you know, show us that's still in our heart, that's still not subject to him 100%. And as we hear that, the Lord will bring us through that, and he will, you know, purge that dross from us. And then we now will be a little bit more mature, a little bit closer to God. We'll be a little bit more able to go through the next trial that the Lord brings us through, right? And we'll have a deeper faith in, you know, because, you know, I remember when I was saved, right? You know, you have hope when you're first saved, right? You hope that God's word is true. You hope that you will get better. You hope, start hoping all these things. God does give us that hope. He allows us leniency even in that hope. But as we start to walk with the Lord, we start to grow in faith. Right. We start to say that Lord will be there, because I've seen the Lord there. Right. And our faith will start to grow, and our ability to believe will start to grow, and our maturity will grow in that we will be able to walk through the same, situation with so much more peace, with so much more confidence, because we know what the Lord has done. And then we'll be able to share that with our brethren. Even though you've walked through it, you can't bring someone else through it. You can just share your testimony. You can share what the Lord has done. But that might be enough just to open up the eyes of whoever it is that you're sharing with, so they can see and have a faith that you didn't even have when you were at their stage, you know? The Lord uses all these things. I know there were so many people who spoke into my life when I was going through these situations that allowed me to grow in my faith. And the Lord does that with us, for us, through us. So, and the last, I just want to, I'm going to kind of end it up with this, but in Romans, right? And this is my urge to every one of us, right? That as we're experiencing these good griefs, if you will, right? Remember, there is a great God. But those good griefs are what cause us to continually know there is a good God. Because as we come before God, and as we realize that I don't know how to manage this situation, and we leave it to God, we will see God deliver us through each one of those situations in a way that we cannot explain away. You know, even though others may try, you'll know what God has brought you through, and there's no one else that could have brought you through that, except God. And God will open the doors that will be opened, and he will shut the doors that no man can open, right?
That's right.
And that's something that we have to, you know, not understand, but grow in our faith in, that God is there. But the only way we can do that is as we face many trials, that it produces that endurance in us. And as that endurance has its way in us, we'll be wanting for nothing, you know? And that's where God wants us to be. So here's what it says: "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship," right? "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, and that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And there's no other way. There's no other way for us to get to that place except submitting and subjecting ourselves to God. And once this is done, once we've got to that place where we're subjecting ourselves to God continually, and we can recognize that we're not being conformed to the ways of this world, but we're continually looking to be transformed from the ways of this world, then we will be able to say this, right? So this is in Philippians 4:5-8. "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near," right? "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus." What an awesome place to be. Mm-hmm. In that place where it goes beyond even your ability to comprehend. Like, you won't know why you're at peace. You'll want to struggle through it. You'll want to be anxious about it. But there'll be a peace that comes over you that you won't even be able to comprehend. That's evidence that God is greater than any problem that we face or any situation we find ourselves in. And then, finally, brethren, Whatever is true, we have to do this also. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Right? So as we walk this walk with the Lord, and as we go through these trials, knowing the only one who can actually bring us through that trial is God, don't start going into a place of a pity party. Mm. Don't allow the devil to veer you off your course, but dwell on these things.
Right.
Dwell on whatever is true. What is true? The word of God is true. So dwell on the word of God, right? Whatever is honorable. Start, you know that God is honorable. You know that God has surrounded you with honorable men and women, right? Surround yourself with them. Let them speak life into your life, right? Right? Whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. Start to actually meditate upon these things. And I guarantee you that whatever situation you're in, the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Praise God.
Yeah, praise God. The amazing thing about that, you know, I like how it's the perseverance that is what you're able to gain results from perseverance. If you can't persevere, you can't expect to get to a place of peace.
That's true.
Because it's the persevering that enables you to have the miraculous experience. If we stand back in fear or in worry or doubt or in a place where we're not moving forward because of the inability to persevere, then you never actually get to the next place. And that's why it's so important that to have that relationship with God, like you're saying, because it's that perseverance that brings you to that place. And that's why the wisdom kicks in, because you're going, God, what do I do? What do I do in this situation? How do I deal with this? And this is all for when times are difficult, for when things are bad. Anybody can have peace and patience and kindness when everything's going your way, right? Everything is going the way you think it ought to go.
Yeah.
It's when things take a turn and it appears to be for the worse, but is there really such a thing as something taking a turn for the worse when your hands are in God's hands?
Amen.
No, really, it's an opportunity, like you're saying, to demonstrate perseverance and the wisdom of God being manifested, and then the peace of God comes so that you can prove it, right? Because then you say, who's the proof? We are.
Yeah.
We're the proof. We're the proof that we didn't lose our minds, right? That we didn't go crazy, that we didn't fall apart over it.
And what the awesome thing is this is what perseverance is right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the perseverance that we do.
Right.
We, start to meditate on whatever is true. Persevere in that.
Yes.
Persevere in what is honorable, what is right. Don't allow the enemy to get into your head with negative thoughts. And with, self-doubting thoughts.
Right.
Or with even thoughts that say, well, God's doing this for that person, but not for me,
Right.
Think about these things. And as we do that, then perseverance will actually start to accomplish what is needed in our lives.
Right. Right. And rather than turn it around so it's reflecting back on you, oh, what about me? Well, say, God, and you brought this out, what are you doing, Lord?
Right.
What are
right.
you saying?
Right.
Because God is always trying to get our attention so that we can focus and move in the direction that he's calling us to go in. It's so easy to be distracted and caught up in fear and just everything else that comes out of that. Literally everything else that's evil is rooted in fear. And so if we can get free of that by focusing and seeing what God is doing, that's why being able to see what God is doing is so important. Because that will be the honorable thing. That will be the pure thing and the thing that is of good repute or the excellent thing. Those are the things we focus on. It's easy to point out faults
and
things that are wrong. Anybody can see those because the devil makes sure of that, right? In fact, it's a natural regression to go in the way of evil or what is wrong. And when you are operating in the light and the strength and the power of God, that's when you're able to see what God is doing. When you're in darkness, you cannot see what God is doing because you're blinded by the darkness. You're overwhelmed by the darkness. And it's our responsibility to shine the light, to be the light, and to allow the light of God to be exposed for others to see. So someone has to model that. Yeah. And that's why being a father is so important.
Well, that's what
right?
I was going
to
say, yeah.
Because, it's such an because awesome that's message. His job to demonstrate that in the house.
Yeah. It is. It's such an awesome message for Father's Day, you know? Because as fathers, you know, we see sometimes our kids struggling through something. And we want to rescue them from that. We don't want them to go through the pain of it or go through the suffering. But sometimes we even have to step back and say, Lord, what is your purpose in this? And how do you want me to, you know, come alongside my child in this situation? Do I allow them to just work it out with you? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and most often that's what God will do. He'll allow us to keep pointing them back to him.
Right.
And as we continue to keep pointing back to him, right. then they will start to develop their own relationship.
Right.
They no longer, you know, depend on me per se.
Right.
But
right.
they'll depend on God for their deliverance.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's the thing we forget,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
You know, to be able, as men, it's so easy. We want to fix everything, right?
Yeah.
We want to fix it. If something goes wrong, something's not right, we just want to fix it. We don't mind giving other people, you know, we don't mind, giving my wife a chance or the kids a chance. But, you know, they got about a certain amount of time to get it together.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
jumping
yeah.
in. I'm going like, I got this, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 you know. And, you know, sometimes that's not what God wants. Sometimes what God wants is for us to just help people to go get to God.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
Lord will show you. And, yeah. you know, we even have to go to our kids and say, what do you think God is trying to teach you in this?
Yeah.
What do you think God is saying? What do you think God is doing? And if we can ask these kinds of questions of our kids so that they will begin to get used to having a kingdom mindset, so that they're thinking in the way that God thinks, because yeah. his ways are far from our ways, right?
Yeah,
as we pointed out. So I think it's so important to be able to always be dependent on God. I think that's the number one problem that we see in the Word of God demonstrated with the Israelites and
yep.
all of those from Genesis to Revelation that had problems. The problem was they became independent. Mm. And when you become independent, then you become outside of God. And God is calling us to dependency upon Him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want us to say, you know, I'll handle it myself. He wants us to say, Lord, show me. Lord, teach me. Lord, make a way for me. We're supposed to turn it over to God, and then God will then respond accordingly.
Amen.
And it is the interventions of God that enables us to have this relationship with Him where we get to see God work.
Amen.
Because God
Amen.
Does things in ways that we can't. We're good at messing things up because we can say the wrong thing, we can do the wrong thing, and then still God comes in and he fixes it.
Amen.
But if you don't see that it's God, then he can't get the glory. And if God can't get the glory, then either can you.
Yeah,
right? You
sure.
can't get the benefit of having that relationship with God
Amen.
That he would relate to you or impart to you.
Yeah, pretty yeah. cool.
Well, Pastor Raphael, you shared some really great things. Thank you for that, Pastor Michal. Awesome. And we're so grateful for what God is doing. And these are the things that God is working out in our lives as we deal with this current age and the situations and circumstances that we're all facing. Because I'm sure, you know, our kids and even we had questions, you know, what's going on with the culture, with the world, you know, and we know the scripture says it'll be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah when Christ returns.
Yeah.
Well, we can clearly see that that's happening.
Yeah.
And so if we can see that much, we ought to be looking to God to see all that we need to see
yeah. Yeah.
so that we can be able to thrive in days like this.
Amen.
So, yeah. 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 And, you know, I just praise God for the opportunity to get, you know, to know him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I often, you know, remember some of the times when I was walking in this world and I knew him, but I didn't concern myself with him. But how awesome is God that even in the moments when I didn't concern myself with him, he still concerned himself with me.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And I praise him for that. And one of the things that we talked about during when I had the opportunity to speak was, we were talking about going from root to fruit, right? From root to fruit. And I wanted to start with Proverbs 12:3. It says, a man will not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous will not be moved. Amen. Right? The root of the righteous will not be moved. Doing youth ministry over time, I have to be involved with, like, God help me, TikTok. And I'm on Instagram and, you know, all these different social media platforms. And something that I see often are Christians who are trying to imitate the world and put a God spin on it, right? But you know what I never see? The world trying to imitate God and put a God spin on it, right? When we imitate the world and we're trying to put a God spin on it, it's because we're trying to blend with the world. When the world tries to imitate what God does, it's so that they can get further away from God.
Right. That's right.
And if you're rooted, when you're looking at, just take a look at, you know, at a park with trees. Those trees are not concerned with what other trees are doing.
Right. That's right.
All that tree is concerned about is, what do I have to do to get what I need so that I can reach my full potential? That's what that tree's worried about.
Right.
And you know what's awesome is that as that tree continues to grow and it becomes rooted, it gets what it needs in order to let other trees benefit from its growth.
Right?
Right.
Right.
You have apples. Apple trees, they can grow by themselves, mm-hmm. but they will never reach their full potential unless there's another apple tree there to cross-pollinate with it.
That's right.
And as Christians, you certainly can grow by yourself, but you will never reach your full potential unless you are rooted amongst other people who are well-rooted.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
And as we do that, the righteous will not be moved. Amen. The righteous will not be moved.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
Amen.
And as I was, you know, as Pastor Michal was saying, you know, I like to go back and we're our own worst critics when we look at ourselves and hear mm-hmm. ourselves. But I praise God and you know, I encourage you guys too, you know, don't just listen to a sermon on Sunday and be like, that was nice, and then walk, you know. Sometimes God has that word for you and it may not hit you the way that you thought it was going to hit you that Sunday, but listen to it 4 Sundays from now or on a Tuesday or a Wednesday and watch how God slaps you across the face. Because he does it to me all the time, right? And in Hebrews 5:12-14, it says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food, right?
That's right.
And I truly believe that there's nothing that happens to you in your life that does not pass through God first, all right?
That's right.
I'm lactose intolerant. There's no milk in this tea. And God speaks to me through that. You know why? Because every time I have... listen to me, Pastor. Because every time I eat something I'm not supposed to, my body reminds me. And when God, when we are eating something we're not supposed to spiritually, get ready for God to remind you.
That's right. That's right.
Because what we need in this world is more lactose intolerant Christians that stop going back to bowls of milk and start eating some meat.
Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Because God is going to be able to minister to you through everything. Mm-hmm. If he's not, it's because you got headphones for the world. And they have noise canceling on them.
Yeah. That's right.
Because God is able to minister to you through all things. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. For he is an infant. Yeah. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil.
That's right.
And in today's world, in today's society, we, again, have too many people who are trying to follow the things that the world does and try to put a Christian spin on it. Now, I'm not saying that we can't go out there and do things that are out there and see what God is doing in there, right? For the guy's survival night, we'll play a movie, and when we play a movie, it may not necessarily always be a PureFlix movie, right? We did the Lego movie this past year, right? But the reason that we do that is because we try to train these young people up to understand that you could use anything to minister the word of God, right? You could sit there. Now, I'm not telling you to go watch, you know, The Exorcist. Like Pastor Raphael said, I could go watch a movie and then, you know. But that's not what I said. What I'm saying is that God has made it possible for us to share his word in so many ways. Mm-hmm. You do not need to imitate the world to do it. Right. Because the fact of the matter is that when you imitate the world, understand you are imitating a copy. Because I don't know what Bible other people read, but I read the Bible and it says, in the beginning, God. Mm-hmm. And it says that God created everything. Mm-hmm. And it says that when God created everything, it was good. And then when he got to us, he said it was real good.
Yeah, that's right.
And so when we're looking at the rest of the world and we're looking at the world is doing, understand you're just copying what the world tried to copy for God and use it for themselves. If you want to do what God has called you to do, read the word and imitate what that says, because then you're getting the real deal, Holyfield. You're getting the original copy. You're in the original from the author.
That's right.
And then see what God does in your life.
Amen.
And it's not until we start eating from the original meal that God has provided for us that we will be able to operate with the potency that God has called us to operate with. Mm-hmm. Because you're getting a lot more nutrients from solid food than you are from milk. So go ahead, be well-rooted, be among the righteous that will not be moved, regardless of how strong the storm is. Regardless if the world comes beating down your door with a bat, remind yourself that God is a strong tower. Mm-hmm. He is the foundation. He is the cornerstone that everyone else rejected, but we have said yes and amen. Yeah. Because God, you died for me. Help me to live for you.
That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So go from root to fruit.
That's right. and this you bring out a very excellent point, because even taking something like, you know, TV and movies and things like that, being able to sit down with your family or your kids and to even talk about it, how does it relate to the Word of God? Because everything relates to the Word of God. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what it is. You can watch anything and you can see, as you're pointing out, how it relates to the Word of God, either for good or for evil. And sometimes we don't recognize evil because we're so in the midst of the evil that we don't see it. And what God will enable us to do is to shine the light on things.
That's right.
So that you'll be able to reveal the hidden things that people don't normally think are all that bad, right? We live in a culture where everything is like, you know, it's okay. Oh, it's not that bad. But when you have a conversation about it and you begin to think about it, you're able to see, well, wait a minute. If you hold on to that, then that leads to this, which leads to that. And it kind of creates a chain reaction in your life that drains you of your anointing, of your strength, your spiritual fortitude, your ability to stand when things get troublesome. And especially when you're around other people who are like, oh yeah, that's okay, right? You know, especially when, you know, you're in an environment where your peers are all behaving and acting a particular way, and it's not something you want to be a part of. It's hard to stand against that if you don't recognize that what they're saying and doing is not a healthy thing to do. But once you're able to recognize that, it makes it easier for you to pull back and make a stand.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, yesterday we were doing the senior trip. We had a bunch of the kids that are going from 8th grade to 9th grade that we were hanging out with. And we were out in Connecticut. And everywhere we went, I just had this T-shirt on. And it says, you want to talk about Jesus. And there's a big taco on it. right? Because I'm just a big kid. But what was cool about it is that at least three different times, people were reading my shirt. And they were like, want to talk about, oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. And I was like, you want to talk about it? One time I was going into the bathroom, so we weren't talking about nothing. So, because that was just going to be awkward. But the fact is that everywhere we went when we were with the kids, people were like looking at us. They were just looking at us as we were going around. And it gave us opportunities to be able to tell people what we were doing and who we were representing while we were there, right?
Right.
Clearly, when we were there, we were set apart. Because people don't recognize when you blend in.
Right.
But when you're set apart the way that the Bible tells us that we're meant to be, mm-hmm. people recognize that.
Right.
And as we were able to go around to the different stores, to different places, people recognized that. And they were like, oh, so what are you guys doing here? And I was like, oh, yeah, these are all kids from our youth ministry. I'm the youth pastor for the church. And, you know, we were able to just talk and talk and talk because that's what I love to do. and so what was great is that it's an example of what it is to be a Christian.
Right,
is to live your life for God in such a way that people have no choice mm-hmm. but to recognize that.
Yeah.
If we're able, and I'm going to say it, if we're able mm-hmm. to go into a place and people are not able to see the difference between you and the devil,
right.
you may want to reevaluate.
Right.
Where you are.
Right.
And that's the God's honest truth.
Right.
And that goes for anybody. I have to step in front of that mirror myself sometimes and say, Raphael, mm-hmm. don't think that because now you're a pastor, mm-hmm. you're a part-time Christian.
Right.
Because too often we get into a place where we're leading people. We get so caught up with leading people, we forget the fact that we first need to be led.
That's right. That's right.
And that's all of us as Christians.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Praise God.
You know, I love that imagery that you're giving, but just getting into the Bible and actually letting the Word of God bring you from root to fruit, right? Because so often we, you know, kind of draw back from witnessing, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't always need to be a verbal witness, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
I mean, on your job, where you're going to be there every day, if you're just that person who shows up and you don't curse,
right.
that's the first, you know, blatant you know, sign
yeah, that
there's
that
something
right
different about this person, right?
right.
You know, that, and then you start to see people are like, oh, sorry. They don't even realize,
right.
but they're all of a sudden they're being convicted right. of actually cursing in your presence.
Right. And
right?
you don't even have to say anything.
Exactly.
About it.
And not even that, but then you also start to realize when you're in the presence of those who are your coworkers, right? Their subjects or their topics of discussion change
mm-hmm.
because when you're not there and you're over here what they're talking about,
right.
their conversation degrades quickly, you know?
Right.
Or if you're in their presence and all of a sudden the conversation starts going downhill. Now, HR is for everybody, right?
Right.
And you're just like, that's all of a sudden they have to stop.
Right.
Because HR is for everybody, right?
right?
I don't have to go and tell them, you know, you're offending my Christianity.
Right.
But once they see that I'm not going to that place with them,
right.
now that puts a stop to that conversation.
Oh, yeah.
And it prevents
right.
it even going forward. You know, and that in itself is a witness.
Right.
Because from that point now you can start leaving little clues.
Right.
Now you can start leaving your Bible on your desk and start seeing it all.
That's right.
He's
right.
Bible.
Right.
So, and now you can start actually, now people will ask. And, you know, that's the progression of it. And then you have the opportunity. Because they have now come with a heart that's ready to be ministered to. Mm-hmm. Not one that you're trying to break into, you know?
Yeah. That's right. My favorite is when people find out who you represent,
right.
and then they curse more,
yeah.
right? And
right.
then you don't say anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
And you
right.
just keep doing what you're doing, right?
Right. Yep, yep.
And then what they originally thought was going to cause you to be uncomfortable
right.
makes them uncomfortable.
Or those around
right.
them, too.
That's
yeah.
right.
Because then they start coming at you, and then you're like, hey, what's up, Bob?
Yeah.
And they're like, and then it starts convicting them, and then it forces them, like the word says, every knee
mm-hmm.
will bow.
Yeah.
Every knee will bow.
Right.
But you got to bow yours first.
And, you know, the amazing thing is, and I like the point you were talking about, the cross-pollination between the trees. You know, when you plant fruit trees, you have to plant them in pairs so that they can cross-pollinate. And that's so powerful because it's one of the reasons Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'm in the midst.
That's right.
It helps us to cross-pollinate in the Spirit of God. We bring support to each other. It helps us to be able to stand and be more fruitful.
That's right.
And it enables our roots to be that much deeper so that when the winds and the rains come, you know, you're able to stand. One of the things they do when they plant little seedlings for trees, especially little evergreen trees, so they'll come through and they'll smack them with a newspaper every once in a while. And they'll just smack them and smack them and smack them so that they rock back and forth, and it forces their roots to grow in deeper so that they can hold into the ground. Otherwise, they'll just grow out on the surface or just enough to get what they need. But in order for them to grow deep roots, they need to have to go through the challenges and the difficulties of stormy weather and winds and harsh weather conditions in order to force the roots to grow down. And that's really what we're talking about here. This is what God is trying to bring to light in our lives. That's why Paul says, count it all joy when you go through various trials and difficulties, right? And it's really a blessing. It's an opportunity for us to grow, to mature, to come to that place where we're able to trust in God, because the next thing that you have to face is going to require you to have accomplished something in the things that you went through in the past. And each of the things that we go through, I say we grow through, God uses that to do greater things in our life. And that's where our faith will increase. Amen. Once you see that God is doing all these things in your life, when things start to come at you, it causes you to trust God more. Yeah. And that is where the witness of God comes in. And we can help each other to accomplish that simply by allowing the challenges that we face to be an opportunity for us rather than a curse or feeling like it's, oh, woe is me. Oh, Pastor Emil said, throw a pity party for yourself. You know, we don't want to do that. You know, we want to celebrate, God, this is an opportunity. Amen. Okay, Lord, show me, Lord, what are you saying here? I know you're doing something. I know you're about to do something. And if we can model that for our families and for each other, and that's why being a part of the church is so awesome, because you know, where my family falls short, you know, your family may pick up the slack, or your family will pick up the slack. Or if none of us have it, one of these guys has it. Your house has what we need. And each of us, we all bring something to the table that we all need so that we can all grow and mature, you know, in the Lord, and we benefit each other. We're cross-pollinating each other. Mm-hmm. We're helping each other to see in the dark, because God has brought you through something that may not be something I'm familiar with, and I may have to kind of lean on you to get over the hurdle that I'm facing based on your testimony and based on your witness and the things that God is revealing to you. And as we interact together, we're able to rise up, and we can all overcome in the strength of God and in the power of God.
Amen.
And that's something you can't get sitting at home by yourself, right? You can't you can't get that on your own. You can only get that when we interact with each other, because that's how we get to know each other. Amen. We get to hear each other's testimonies, our stories, and that builds our faith. That is what enables us to overcome, because it's not so far away that, you know, it's somebody on TV. Look, people on YouTube are not coming to visit you when you're in times of need, when you're in trouble. They're not coming to help you. They're not going to show up. They're not going to give you a call and say, hey, how you doing? They're not going to be there for you, but the church will. Mm-hmm. Your church will. And we will be there to help you grow through whatever it is that God is doing in your life, even if the devil thinks it's his plan. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the devil's plan turns out to be the benefit for the kingdom of God that enables these things to work together for our good. And that's why it's so awesome to be in an environment and a culture where you're being breathed into, not just by the pastors and by ministry leaders, but by members of the congregation. We're breathing into each other. We all play a viable role in the working of the Spirit of God and the power of God, because the days are getting evil and they're getting worse. And it's going to be harder to become a Christian. And you think that the government was telling people to stay home, don't go to church during coronavirus. Wait till the Antichrist shows up. We'll see how many. There'll be even fewer people showing up because of their fear. And the devil will use all types of tactics, but the power of God works through obedience. Mm. When you obey the word of God, that's where the power of God shows up. It's not there until you obey the word of God. Yeah. Once you move forward in God, God then shows up. You know, in Star Trek, there's this group of people called the Jem'Hadar, right? And they are this race of people that were bred for the purpose of fighting. They're warriors. And their obedience is to the Vorta, and there's other people that are in the line, the founders. You know, there's these people in this, the chain of authority in their lives. And what their motto is obedience brings victory. Obedience brings victory. I said, well, praise God. You know, that will preach. I'm taking that with me. You know, obedience brings victory. And then they say, victory is life. Hallelujah. So obedience brings victory, and victory is life. So if you want life, then you have to be obedient so that you can have the victory, so that you ultimately will have life.
Amen.
And that is what, that is Jesus all the way, right? That is biblical principle. When you are operating in obedience, you may not understand. You may not make sense to you. You are just doing what you're told. You are doing because Jesus said it. I am doing it. I believe it. I receive it. I obey it. And I don't have to understand it, because I know obedience will lead to life. And when you have victory, victory is what gives you life. We have the victory, right? We sing the song, we have the victory. Well, that's because the life of Christ is in us. Without life, you have no victory. And when you're defeated, or you're being defeated in a particular area of your life, that means you have no obedience in that area of your life. When you're walking in obedience to God, it will lead to victory. It will open the door that no man can shut, as Pastor Michal said. God causes things to happen simply because you are being obedient.
That's right.
God will make a way even when it seems impossible, the word of God says, or there is no way. And that's because God causes things to happen. Yeah. It's the causation effect. And we can't figure it out. We can't understand it. We look at it, you know, Michalism, you can't do God's math on a calculator, right? You know, you can't figure God out by trying to figure it out, because you don't have all the parameters, because they don't exist. And they don't exist because you didn't do what God told you to do in the first step, in the first essence of it, in the very beginning. Once you obey God for the first, then the rest is blessed. Hallelujah. And it's that whole first fruit principle. I mean, there's a lot that ties into that. But when you give God the first, or when you obey him and you put him first, which is what it means to put first or seek first the kingdom of God, you know, we're saying, God, you know, show me what to do. You know, that's the whole purpose behind prayer. Prayer is talking to God. It's communicating with God so you know what to do. Because if you don't know what to do, then you're going to be gridlocked. You're going to be bound, and you're not going to be able to move forward, because you're going to be fearful, because you don't know. You'll be afraid of the unknown, or you're afraid of what might, because while you're thinking about it, Satan is running game in your mind. He's telling you, well, what about this? Or what if that happens? Or what if this happens? Or what if you do? Well, if you do that, then what about this? And he's playing with the things that are seen in your mind, because the unseen hasn't happened. But if you do what God says to do and you step out there, you say, okay, God, I'm going to go forward, then God does something. And all of a sudden, there's a whole nother dynamic that opens up to you. There's a whole nother principle that comes into play that didn't exist before, simply because you took a step of faith in obedience to what the Word of God says we have to do. And when you obey God, it leads to victory. And victory is life. Hallelujah. Right. Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. I guess it's my turn. Anyway, hallelujah. And so, and you know, there's benefits to watching Star Trek. I'm just saying. So, you know, God can use any of these things that are in our life. If it's a part of your life, then God wants to use it. He wants to use it for his glory. And God will cause things to happen. He will enable you to see things that other people just don't see. And actually, the first movie that God showed me this principle in was The Matrix. I watched that movie, and I was like, what? Wait, what? What is going on? And then later on, I heard that it was written by a Christian, and there's a whole story behind that. But, you know, it's just amazing how God can use the everyday practical things in our life to bring victory so that we can demonstrate the life of God. And that is the legacy of the Holy Spirit. And I wanted to talk a little bit today about the legacy of the Holy Spirit, because that is what God has given us. He's given us the legacy of himself. And God is giving us life, this life that perpetuates life. And that is the Father's legacy. That is our Heavenly Father's legacy, is that we have him in us. We have his spirit. We are of him. And we are leaving that to our children. In Proverbs 13:22, it says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children and his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Hallelujah. You can chew on that one for a minute. Hallelujah. And glory to God. You know, and I find it interesting that God puts two principles together, leaving an inheritance to your children's children and the wealth of the sinner being stored up for the righteous. Mm. And I think that's powerful, because the number one complaint that we have as Christians is, oh, I can't afford it, or I don't have any money, or I can't do it. I don't have the resources to do it. Well, the Word of God says the sinner's got it. Hallelujah. And if the sinner has it and it's stored up for the righteous, what that means is we just need to be righteous, right? And if we can get into the place of righteousness, then the sinner will be handing over the things that need to be handed over so that the kingdom of God can go forward, or the work of God can go forward. God has a way of opening doors and making things happen that otherwise would not happen. And if a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, that is a picture of what God is doing for us. Mm. He is leaving us an inheritance in Christ. And the Spirit of God is giving us his word so that we can be like Jesus, right? Jesus is the Son of God, and we are his children's children, right? So we are joint heirs with Christ. We are part of the family of God. We're part of the lineage of God. And if Jesus is the Word made flesh, what does that make us? Yeah, that means that we are to become the Word made flesh. What does that mean? What does that look like? What that means is, as we obey the Word of God, as we apply the Word in our life, then we begin to reflect the kingdom of God to the world. And so now in our flesh, our human bodies, we are living out the righteousness of God, which is a reflection of Christ. It's a reflection of God himself. Why? Because God has given us his spirit. God, he is within us. Isn't that right? The Spirit of God is imparted to us. And if that's the case, that's the legacy we want to pass on. So God is passing it on through his son, who we receive. We ought to be passing it on to our sons and to our daughters and to our family and our friends. We're spreading it out to all the world. It's the principle of going into all the world, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, right? It starts at home, and it overflows outward from there until you impact the whole world. And that is what Christ is bringing about in us. It's not where you start, it's how you finish. It's not just about starting. Some people say, well, you know, I didn't get saved until, you know, my kids were grown and they're all, you know, have on their own way. But that's not the important part. The important part is you did get saved. It Amen. Happened for you. God did something in you. And now immediately God is already going to work. And the kingdom of God advances in all directions, not just forward, but up, down, left, right, backwards. The everything about the work of God, it can backtrack into your household. The Spirit of God will minister back to your children. The Spirit of God will minister forward to your grandchildren or your children's children. He will minister in every direction as long as you are operating in the righteousness of God. As long as you are hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and reflecting the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Genesis 6:18 says when Noah was in the ark, he said, I will establish my covenant with you and you shall enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons and your wives with you. The whole family is being blessed. The only one that was righteous was Noah. He was the only guy who was right before God. But somehow, the inheritance of God is being passed on to his children and his children's children because of his faithfulness. God is revealing himself and making a way for his whole household. And that's what God is doing for all of us. You know, we are all experiencing the glory of God. And sometimes we're like, I don't know, you know, and it seems like they're just running, you know, but like a fish on a hook, man, that thing is going to run. The reel just goes, you know, and you just hold on. But sooner or later, you get to the end of the line, you get, right? And then all of a sudden, you get, you pull it back, reel, and you're pulling it back. Well, God has a way of doing that with your kids. He has a way of doing that with your coworkers, with your family. As we stand in the gap for one another, we can get the hook in somebody. And the Spirit of God will not let them go. He will wrestle with them day and night. Yes. And they will think that things are going a particular way. But there is going to be a day. There is going to be a day when the hook takes hold. Amen. And they are going to have a revelation from God. They're going to realize the truth of God and the life of God because of your faithfulness, because of your ability to stand. You will be able to overcome in those situations because God is faithful.
Amen.
And his word does not return void.
Amen. Amen.
In 1 John 3:7, he says, little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. So we just have to practice. It goes back to it. Pastor Raphael said, it takes practice, right? We got to practice the righteousness of God. Nobody has it down. None of us. We don't have it down. We're practicing. Why? Because the devil has a unique plan of attack against each of us.
Yep.
His plan against you is one way. His plan against me is another way. And if he can get us to quit, he will. He will do everything he can to get us to quit and to give up. I'm telling you, this year has been a tough year for me. I felt like I wanted to quit so bad. And I'm telling you, it was the grace of God that enabled me to persevere. And it's the perseverance that brings strength. And as we persevere in God, God, he does something. Something happened to
yes,
me.
He does.
God did something in me, and it shifted me. And I moved from the place of wanting to quit to a place where I was operating in obedience to God. And obedience brings victory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Victory is life.
And victory is life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You'll be a good Trekkie yet, y'all. We're going to get you in there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God, that's what God is. He wants us to pass this on to our children. You know, we're sharing this. We're helping. You know, and, you know, when once we understand that, you know, people just don't understand. They just don't know. We know that they're doing evil or they're doing the wrong thing, and we wanna fix it. We wanna jump in there and correct it, or we wanna chastise and say, no, what's the matter with you? You know, how many times I gotta tell you? But they just don't get it. But when we can position ourselves in the place so that we are helping them to learn, or we're teaching them with patience, it changes everything. In verse 8, he says, the one who practices sin is of the devil. And notice it's the word practice here. It's people who, that, and they're comfortable. You're comfortable in this place of where you're doing evil. It says the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus has come to do. And that's what he's doing in each and every one of us. We all have the works of the devil in us. And Jesus has come to destroy that. He's come to break that up. Not only in us, but in our children and our children's children. So that we have a lineage of having victory. And victory is life. Hallelujah. And so verse 9 says, no one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him. Whose seed? God's seed.
God's seed, yeah.
Hallelujah. Saints of God, you have God's seed in you. So you're not going to practice sin. You may fall into it here and there. You might have a situation where it rises up on you, and you might be trying to fight it. But it's not something you are practicing. It's not like when you're taking piano lessons. I took piano lessons, right? And you're there, and you're like, da, 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 oh. And you keep messing up, you keep trying, da, 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 da. No, you're not practicing sin. You're practicing righteousness, and you fall, and you make a mistake. Just like when you're practicing an instrument, you hit a bad note, or you do the wrong thing, or your fingers don't do what your brain wants it to do, or what your eyes see on the paper, right? And that's kind of what our experience is. So our practice is to do good, to do the righteousness of God. And it is because we're born of God. Mm. And when you're born of God, that seed is in you.
Amen.
It's going to take root. It's going to, yes, you're going to be smacked around with the newspaper of life, right? But it's only going to cause your roots to grow deeper and grow stronger. And so he says, by this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. It says, anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Mm. Another interesting thing, the love of God and the practicing. So even if somebody makes a mistake, if their heart is right, if they have the love of God in them and their desire is to do the will of God, it's obvious that they are the righteous and not children of the devil.
Yes, sir.
Because of the desire of the heart brings to light the position of where the person is. Are you practicing, or are you just making a mistake, or are you just making a bad decision? It all becomes obvious when you understand the condition of the heart and the love of God abiding in that place. And that's why in John 8:43, it says, why do you not understand, Jesus says, what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. And this is religious people. He's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. And he says to them, you are of your father, the devil. And you want to do the desires or the deeds of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth, in the truth, because there is no truth in him. There's no seed that he talked about earlier. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Mm. And so these are harsh words. And he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. You think they were offended after Jesus said this to them? You know, I don't think Jesus was worried about being politically correct. He told it like it was. And he is saying to them that you and I, it's obvious when you're a child of God. It's obvious when you're walking with God. And when we're walking with God, God will cause things to happen. He will open doors. He will make a way. And he will show himself. He will prove himself. But if you're not in Christ, that becomes obvious. It becomes obvious because of the condition of your heart. In verse 14 of Romans 8, it says, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons Amen. Of God." Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father." Hallelujah. Amen. God is our Father. He is leaving us an inheritance. Our inheritance is his Spirit, so that we can be led of God, so that we can have the witness of him within us, so that we can stand. He says in verse 17, "If children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer Amen. With him." That's Amen. The smacking of the newspaper, so your roots can grow strong. "So that we may also be glorified with him." So we can rise up in the wisdom of God, in the power of God. We can have victory. Glorified means having victory. You can have victory in your life because victory is life. Hallelujah. That is the legacy the Spirit of God is leading us.
Hallelujah.
That is what the outpouring of the Spirit will lead to. Well, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord has blessed you today. And I pray that the Word of the Lord has quickened you and enabled you to experience an outpouring of the Spirit of God. I thank you, Pastor Raphael and Pastor Michal, for your awesome words here today and all the things that have been ignited in our hearts and in our life. And so I pray that the Spirit of God would be with us and that the Spirit of the Lord will continue to mold us and shape us and that he would use us to leave a legacy for our children and our children's children, that Hallelujah. The glory of God will be manifested in our life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Go ahead.
Glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing
saints of God, I pray that the Word of God would come alive in the midst of your heart and your life, that you would see the manifestations of God like never before, that you would be able to experience through the good, the grief, and the great God of Almighty, who is able to do abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine, that our roots would truly grow so that we could bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And I ask, oh God, that you would demonstrate the power of your Spirit among us, that as we stand in the midst of the darkness, that you would enable us to shine with the glory of the kingdom of God, and that our house would be blessed, and that our children would be blessed, and our great-grandchildren would be blessed, and all of the lineage that you and I represent, that the glory of God would persevere and prevail in the midst of our lives. In Jesus' name, we thank you, oh God, for all these things. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Well, glory to God, and thank you for coming out to the Orange County Gospel Fellowship today. Hallelujah.
Oh, the God of the Lord.